are Locked On Big 12, your daily podcast on the Big 12 Conference, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everybody. Josh Neighbors here, Locked On Big 12 Podcast. Joining us today, it is Keith Jenkins of the Cincinnati Inquirer. Keith, appreciate your time. We're going to talk about Cincinnati to the Big 12, but first, I mean, what a year the Bearcats are having. The big question I'm wondering is, if they get past Notre Dame, do you think they may make the college ball playoff if they run the table?
I don't know. The rankings aren't shaking out in their favor. They're 3-0. They have their first two wins were over teams that they should have beaten, of course, but they won impressively. The last win against Indiana, they fell behind early, but they rallied and they looked impressive there in the second half. They looked like a top 10 team, but the rankings so far, they're not impressed. The voters aren't impressed. The coaches aren't impressed. The AP voters aren't impressed. So, you know, we're still about, you know, a month and a half or so away until the first college football playoff rankings come out, until the committee starts to meet and have those discussions. We'll just have to see how the committee views this team. But if they can put together an impressive win at Notre Dame and then, you know, beat UCF in impressive fashion between now and that November 2nd date, you know, maybe the committee will look at them favorably. But as of now, it's not looking like they're going to let them crack that top four. Some things are going to happen, going to have to happen ahead of them in order for that to happen.
What's the talk been around Luke Fickell? Obviously, it's a USC job, became open, but it appears that they're not going to fill it, obviously, until the end of the season. What's been the conversation around Luke Fickell just in terms of that USC job? And look, other, you know, that's not the only job that I think people kind of have their eyes on, you know, for him and his future. What do you think is his future at Cincinnati, especially considering now the new news that Cincinnati is going to be in the Power Conference?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've asked Luke about it, and he's really happy here. And I know people are like, yeah, you know, whatever. But the thing is it's weird circumstances, or it's different circumstances here with Luke. He's an Ohio guy, born and raised in this state, and he truly loves the fact that he's been able to build this thing from the ground up. All of the players are his. His family loves it here. His oldest son, Landon, is a freshman at the University of Cincinnati. So he's really liked what he's been able to build here. Now, the link to USC is obvious. Mike Bone is the AD there. He was the AD previously at the University of Cincinnati. He hired Luke Fickell here. But you got to think, man, I mean, as an Ohio guy, someone who didn't grow up in LA, doesn't know that lifestyle, but more importantly, doesn't know the recruiting trails out there, doesn't have any ties out west. I think that would be a long shot for him to go out west. And then you got to think too, he's at a situation. Look, Cincinnati is a basketball school. It will be, it forever will be. It has been for years and years and years, regardless of what the football team does. And they are on an impressive run, no doubt about that. But this is a basketball school. So my point is that the pressure to win here at the University of Cincinnati would not be what it would be at USC, at Ohio State, at Oklahoma, at Texas. So I think he's in a good spot here. He makes great money. And with the move to the Big 12, that money will not only continue to get bigger and bigger. So I think he's happy here. He likes it here. I don't see him leaving. He's already turned down several other Power 5 offers. And, you know, no disrespect to the prestige and the acclaim and the notable alumni that USC has. I just don't think this is the move that he would take. I think there are obvious moves out there that he would love, you know, maybe Notre Dame, maybe Ohio State. If those two positions ever opened up, I think those are two dream jobs for him. But for right now, I think he's happy here. And he's always said, look, I just want to continue to grow the program. That's all I want to do is continue to grow the program. And as long as there's room to do that, I think he'll be motivated to do that here. And move to the Big 12 is only leaving more and more room for this program to continue to grow.
Yeah, the one job I could see him really being interested in is that Penn State job. If James Franklin were to leave and go to USC, that feels like it could be a natural fit. Just because I think you hit it on the head with those Midwestern ties that he has. I don't think Los Angeles makes too much sense. also the kind of coach that he is. He's such a developer. You know, it's a, for him, it's about getting those guys that are left out from the Ohio States, from the Michigans, bringing them in and then also developing them. I think that makes more sense at a place like Penn State than it does at USC. Would you agree with that?
Sure, sure. I don't think that Penn State is on his list. I agree with you in that. I think it's more likely for him to take the Penn State job more than the USC job. Again, the west side of the country, man, is just not where his feet are strong. You know, it's not where he's comfortable. It's not where he's familiar. The Midwest is what he knows, what he likes, what he's best at. He's been beating these recruiting trails for his entire career. So, yeah, I mean, Penn State, that makes more sense. Again, if there's a Big Ten school that's going to call him, I think the only one that he's – I mean, he's already turned down other schools in that conference, other Power Five schools. But, yeah, I mean, if we're talking which one is more likely, Penn State would be the more likely one of those two.
Yeah, obviously we know the Ohio State, you know, kind of being the dream job, right, with his roots being there. But, see, it appears Ryan Day's got a pretty good stranglehold in that position right. for the time being. And also you talk about that West Coast recruiting. It's so different now because, you know, the USC's and UCLA's don't have that hold on Los Angeles, on Southern California. They once did. It's really the example of how national recruiting's become. You see all these guys on the West Coast go to places like Clemson and Alabama. Mm-hmm. That kind of brings us, you know, now to this national conference that Cincinnati is going to join. They're going to join the Big 12 conference along with BYU, along with UCF, and along with Houston. Mm-hmm. What is kind of been the fan base reaction? Is there excitement? Is there hesitation? Is there worry? Is there sadness? What is the fan base reaction been? You know, that you've seen with the news of them going to the Big 12.
Sure. It's 100% excitement. I mean, they are thrilled. This is something that this fan base has been waiting for a long time, an opportunity to crack into that Power Five table, to get a seat at that table. And they finally got it. It's been a long time coming. Fans are excited. It's funny. The news happened on a Friday. That following day, Cincinnati had a home game against Murray State. And there were Big 12 T-shirts, there were Big 12 signs, there were cheerleaders with Big 12 flags, which I thought was interesting because they're still technically a member of the American Athletic Conference. And the cool thing, too, on that Friday night was Cincinnati's latest induction ceremony into their Athletics Hall of Fame was that night, and they had it inside of their basketball arena. And over top on the scoreboard was big, bright red Big 12 logos. So there's an obvious excitement with this program, with this school, with the fan base. And it's really felt like a long time coming. I think if there was any, I don't know, uneasiness, it's just what is the future of college football? None of us really know. There's even talk that there could be four power conferences. You know, we don't with 16 teams apiece, we don't know what it's going to look like. But I think if you're the Big 12, if you're Cincinnati, this move is a win-win for both. You have two really good four great caliber schools coming in, Houston in their respect and their history and their traditions, Cincinnati, what they're doing on the football field of late. And then, of course, what they've done in the basketball side, you know, historically. And of course, BYU and UCF. I mean, it's losing Texas and Oklahoma are obviously huge losses. Right. But I think if there are four programs that you want to grab and bring them in, I think they picked really four great programs to start with. And hopefully it's able to continue to keep the Big 12 a strong conference.
Yeah. I mean, people talked about, you know, hey, are they grabbing the leftovers? Are they just grabbing people that are available? But I think there's – the thing that's interesting for Cincinnati is, like, if this version of Cincinnati comes to the Big 12 this year, I mean, they're arguably the second best football team in the conference if they went this year. And I think once Oklahoma and Texas leave, if they're able to sustain any kind of level near this, they're probably going to be the best football team in the conference the year they come. I mean, depending on what Oklahoma State does. But this is a top 15, like, program in the country right now with the way they've been going. And also the second thing that I think – shows you how good this conference is going to be. I know people don't focus on basketball as much, but let's not act like the NCAA basketball tournament isn't this gigantic cash cow. True. Every single metric, the Big 12 conference is still going to remain probably the second or the first or second best conference in America when it comes to basketball. I mean, sure. Cincinnati is obviously, like you said, it's a basketball school. They've just gotten, in my opinion, the best coach, one of the best coaches under the age of 40 in the entire country in Wes Miller. They're coming along with UCF, who just, you know, not most consistent basketball program, but still have had some moments. BYU, sure. very consistent. And then also Houston just made the Final Four. Yep. I mean, this basketball conference is going to be absolutely one of the best three basketball conferences in the country. So to me, I think that kind of a basketball conversation really does put a dent in the idea that this is, you know, not a power conference still.
Sure. No, I mean, that's probably the bigger point is the basketball side. I mean, adding two programs like Houston and Cincinnati is huge for the Big 12. What they've done historically and then what they're doing now. Sure, Cincinnati had a down season last year, and of course all the other things that went on with this program over the last few months are crazy, but they still reached their conference championship game and was this close to making the NCAA tournament despite the down COVID weird year. And before that, I mean, they're a perennial 25-30 plus win season, and you know, 10-2 national championships and Final Fours and all-time great coaches and players. And so to be able to add, you know, those two programs on the basketball side is tremendous. And of course the four of them on the football side is great too. It's a tough loss, no doubt about it, with Texas and Oklahoma. I mean, it's half of their entire revenue, right? But, you know, you're adding four quality schools who are not only competitive in football and in men's basketball, which are obviously the two most important sports, but they have quality programs, you know, down the ledger. So it should be a fun, you know, I don't know when this whole thing will happen. I know as of right now, Cincinnati is scheduled to join the conference in 2024. It could happen before that. We'll see how things shake out. But it's an exciting time here in Cincinnati, and I'm sure the Big 12 are really, really happy to see this thing come together.
What's the trip you're most looking forward to in the new Big 12?
Great question. You know,
I can't see Orlando too. No, because Orlando, you've already done the Orlando thing with UCLA.
No, I mean, in fairness, I've been on this beat for 15 months. So a lot of these.
Okay, so you haven't probably done Orlando yet.
So yeah, in my first year was a COVID year. I mean, the only road game I had was Atlanta for the Peach Bowl because we just didn't travel, unfortunately. But no, I mean, I think fans are already excited about the West Virginia-Cincinnati matchup. I mean, Bob Huggins has said that he anticipates coaching he's not retiring anytime soon. I asked him that, I don't know, 2 months ago when he was here. He said, no, don't look me in there with Coach K and Roy. I'm not as old as those guys. I'm not going anywhere anytime soon. But obviously with Cincinnati and Huggins going back and forth in conference, that would be fun. That's probably the matchup from a Cincinnati perspective I'm most excited to see. But, yeah, going to Stillwater is exciting. I've heard great things about the environment and the culture there and Baylor. I'm a big fan of Chip and Joe on HGTV. So of course they put Waco on the map and you know, the first thing that came to mind was Magnolia and see what, no. it's a really fun and unusual time. But to see these teams that wouldn't necessarily come to Cincinnati would be cool. And on the other side of the token, to see Cincinnati take some trips to the heartland of this country and to Texas, and it'll just be the TCU trip. I mean, it'll be a lot of fun to just see some rivalries started and just a lot of fun matchups, man. It'll be a good time.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of basketball places, they get to go to Fog Allen Fieldhouse. You know, they get to go to Gallagher Arena now. They get to go down to, you know, the Octagon of Doom over there in Manhattan, Kansas. I mean, all of these cool places they get to go. Obviously, they renew that rivalry that, you know, naturally comes with Bob Huggins at West Virginia. And they get to go see.
Oscar's got the record. Then Oscar's got the record at Kansas for like the most points scored in that building or something crazy.
He might actually. Yeah, he might. Yeah, there's a little piece of Cincinnati history there.
So there you go.
And everybody's very excited too to go to Provo, Utah, because it's this gorgeous place.
Yeah. Right?
And I think people are pumped to go there. Also, their basketball and football arenas have the highest capacity out of that of any Big 12 stadium, and wow. Big 12, they'd have the highest. So I think people are pumped for that. One thing on Cincinnati basketball before I get you out of here, what's the vibe around Wes Miller as they kind of, you know, get ready for their first season? I mean, it's a program that made what, 9 straight NCAA tournaments heading into 2019 and 2020, obviously did not go there, you know, 2020, 2021 didn't really go their way. You said they were pretty close. Sure. They didn't make it. I love Wes Miller at UNCG. He was there for a long time, considering, and he's not even 40 yet. Right? The guy's only 38 years old, and he was there for what, damn near a decade, right?
Yep.
So one of the best young coaches in the country. What's kind of the vibe around this program as they get ready for year one under him?
No, I mean it's excitement, and of course everyone loves you when you're undefeated. So right now. Undefeated. He hasn't lost yet.
He's never more popular than he is right now, right?
No question about it. No doubt about it. But yeah, I mean, what you said, everyone is fully aware of his resume and what he's done and what he's about and the fact that he is arguably the top young coach in the country. To be able to hire Wes and bring him in coming off of the last year that they've had. I mean, it was an ugly departure. But from John Brandon, it's still ongoing. I mean, there's an outstanding lawsuit out there, and the school and John are going back and forth. And there's a fractured fan base. There's some fans who believe that John Brandon got the raw deal. Mm. There's fans who believe that he didn't. But I think all in all, fans are ready to move forward and cheer on this team. And it's exciting for them to have a guy like Wes Miller who has come in and has done everything right. He's made sure to get the former players involved and bring them back and make sure they're a part of the conversation. And then, of course, with COVID, you know, kind of, I don't know, turning around maybe a little bit, there'll be some more fans in the arena this year, which is exciting for fans as well. So the energy is positive, both from a football and basketball perspective. And Wes is an exciting guy. He's got a lot of energy and he says a lot of the right things. So everyone's excited. And then with the schedule, the way that it lines out, they should have a good year. We don't know how good the team will be and how it will gel, but they have, you know, a favorable non-conference schedule and hopefully they can do well in conference. So, you know, it should be a bounce back year. I think they went 12-11 last year. Obviously, you know, COVID had a lot to do with that and some other things as well. But, you know, the schedule shakes out. The excitement about Wes is real. They got some transfers in here, some returners that are coming back that they're excited about. So, yeah, it's exciting time for men's basketball. And I'll be actually sitting down with Wes in a little bit in a couple of days. And I'm excited to chat with him and to get his feel on how he feels about the team. So, yeah, man, it's exciting for sure.
Are we expecting some parting shots from the other teams in the AAC, some rough atmospheres when Cincinnati goes on the road this year because of that?
I mean, it could be. I haven't really thought too much about that, but I'm sure they're – I mean, if they win, who cares? You know?
I'm sure, I think places like Memphis might have a little – you know, they might have a little extra juice because I think they probably feel pretty left out.
You know, and then that could be. That could be. I mean, Memphis, they got a squad, man, and they're – building something special down there with the basketball team. I wonder how long Penny will even be there, the way he's got it going. If those recruits can start translating to some wins, I can see him in the NBA really, really soon. But yeah, it'll be interesting once they get an ACC play for sure.
Keith, where can people find you and your work and tell us what you're working on right now?
Sure. I just did a story today on Deshaun Pace. He's the sophomore linebacker for the Cincinnati Bearcats. He was the AAC Defensive Player of the Week. He has been killing it this season. Only a sophomore, and he's just playing lights out. So that story was just filed. You can check that out. KeithJenkins.com is my website. All my work is there. All the work I've ever done is there. You can check that stuff out. And then I'm at Mr. Keith Jenkins on all social media platforms, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Hit me up.
Keith Jenkins, appreciate your time, man.
Gotcha, man. Appreciate you.